chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. That's Church Bibles, it's page 1172. I'll give you a second to get. If you haven't got a Bible, just raise your hand. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Yeah, page 1172. Okay, let's go. Doing good to all. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something, when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Thanks, Rebecca. Good morning. A couple of weeks ago, I was chatting to Andy over lunch about the culture here at Silver Street. No church is perfect. We are a group of sinful people, but we see God's grace still refining, moulding, shaping, sanctifying us in the midst of our sinfulness. And we agreed one of the really wonderful things about Silver Street is that you don't have to put on a face when you're here. You can be open about what's going on in your life beyond these four walls on a Sunday morning. We can share suffering, hurt, and even tears while we're here. We're a church that's called to love as Christ loves us. And he loves us in the midst of all our sin and our misery. And yet this is still an area that we can grow in and which God, our loving Heavenly Father, wants to teach us in. So let's, before we come to this, let's turn to God in prayer now and ask for his help. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Galatians 6, verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If you missed last week, go ahead, Rob. We're continuing on in our series on the One Another Command. You might remember this umbrella from last week. I'll explain that in a moment. The One Another Commands are commands that God has given us, his church, on how we are to act towards one another, how we are to love one another, how we are to point each other to Jesus. And today we come to Galatians 6, verse 2, carry each other's burdens. There it is at the front. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. As we look around us, we see lots of different pictures of people carrying one another's burdens. At the end of church today, throughout lunch, we'll see lots of the kids getting tired, falling over, starting to cry, and their parents or someone coming and lifting them up, carrying them amidst their tears. But what does it look like for us as Christians day to day to carry one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ? Does it mean that if I come in some Sunday and I am finding life really, really hard and I break down in tears, that Patrick has to come and lift me up and, you know, rock me a little bit, carry me out the back until I calm down? Patrick would probably struggle to carry me out, so I'm guessing it's not that. No, look down at the verse. No, the most important thing in whatever our burden bearing is, however we are carrying each other's burdens, is to fulfill the law of Christ. To fulfill the law of Christ. What is this law? It's exactly what we looked at last week. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 48. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. If you weren't here last week, go back, listen to the sermons online. You probably missed the most crucial command that we're given to act towards one another of them all. The umbrella here, love on the top. We've got carrying one another's burdens down here on the bottom, because every single command, every single way that God has given for us, his church, to act towards one another is to flow from love. Carrying each other's burdens, you can't quite see it, it's pointing at me. Love is on the top, and everything else flows from that. The Bible says that if we do not have love, we have nothing. It says that we are like a clanging cymbal. You know the sound of someone who has no rhythm at all, cannot keep a beat, just banging on a cymbal. It's just ear-splitting noise. It's horrible. That's what it's like if we do not have love. That is striking, isn't it? Because it means we can turn up to church every Sunday. We can talk to people. It can look like we're having fellowship. But if it's not from a place of love, then it's pointless, because it is not fulfilling the law of Christ, the law of loving God and loving our neighbor. And we can't just force this love to come up from within us. This love for one another, to love our neighbor, it flows from loving God first. The first and greatest commandment is to love God. You see, loving others, carrying each other's burdens, it's a bit like a reservoir giving water. If you've got the reservoir somewhere up here in the mountains, if we have this reservoir and all it's ever doing is having water flowing out of it without anything else actually coming in and filling it up, then eventually the reservoir will run out of water, won't it? It'll dry up. There'll be nothing more to give. That's what it's like for us in caring for people. If all we ever do is give to others, carry burdens, care for people, without ever being filled with the love of God, without being filled afresh with joy and delight in him, without coming back to him to find fresh strength to keep going, then we will dry up. We will have nothing more to give. And the truth is that it says in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us, because God first loved us, because Jesus looked down on heaven, on each and every one of us, each and every one of you, and loved you. The infinite God coming down to be born as a man who needs food and to sleep. He came to suffer upon the cross, to bear our burden of sin so that we might be forgiven, to bear our burden of guilt so that we might be pardoned, to bear our burden of shame that we might be accepted and welcomed into his family. That is why we love. Because God first loved us. And that is why we then love one another. Because he loved us. And so bearing one another's burdens, it will look very different for each of us each day. But the crucial thing, the thing that every burden bearing will have in common, is that we have the love of Christ. That is the essence of caring for each other, of carrying each other's burdens. How then might we show this love? How can we lovingly bear one another's burdens? Well, in lots of ways. In many, many ways. We're going to look at three this morning. Firstly, look down at verse 1 with me. We bear one another's burdens as we carry one another's burdens with sin. Verse 1, look at it with me. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Now, when it says there, if someone is caught in a sin, that doesn't mean almost like they've been caught out, as if, you know, you've come in and they've got their hand in the cookie jar or something like that, they've been exposed. No, it means more like they've been caught, they've been ensnared by sin. It's like how a fly lands on a spider's web and suddenly finds it stuck. It can't get away. Sin is the most deceptive thing that there is. What often looks so appealing, looks so safe, so comforting, is the very thing that would destroy us. And we all have those desires for sin in us. And so we all have that possibility of being caught in sin. But brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. As brothers and sisters, we are to help one another, to restore each other from the sin that we so easily fall into. How do we do that? Firstly, we do it gently. You should restore that person gently. Jesus never tires of forgiving repentant hearts and lifting us out of our sin. He never tires of that. One of my lecturers at college sums up what his prayer life often feels like, or at least what he thinks it often looks like. And he says a lot of the time whenever he's praying, it feels like he's coming to God and he's saying, God, it's me again. And yeah, it's that sin again. And I still really need your help. And if any of us were God, we would have lost patience long ago. But not God. God is merciful. He is gracious, and he gently restores us. He lifts us out from our sin. And so as we help one another in the battle against sin, we don't just tell each other off. We don't just ask, oh, how could you be so stupid as to do that? We help each other return to God, knowing that we're probably going to need that help someday as well, probably very soon. So we help each other gently, but we do it humbly as well. Look down at the end of verse 1 with me. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. It's so easy when we're trying to help someone climb out of a pit for us to then be dragged in to fall into that pit ourselves, either to fall into the same sin or to fall into the sin of pride, thinking that we are better than them, that we would never be so foolish or disappointing before God as they are. But look down at verse 3 with me. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. They deceive themselves. That's a terrifying thought, isn't it? That we can actually trick ourselves. Verse 7 tells us, God is not mocked. We can never fool God, but we can fool ourselves. Whenever we start to think that we are something, that we're the real deal, that we've got holiness figured out, we're dealing with sin, we begin to think that when we're helping people, we're just bringing them up to our level rather than pointing them on to Jesus, then we are deceiving ourselves. We're not fooling God. We're only fooling ourselves. Paul says a similar thing in 1 Corinthians. He says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. I don't know if you've ever been paddleboarding out on the sea or on a lake on basically just a big inflatable board with a paddle. I've been a few times. My balance is not good. I need to focus pretty hard. It's whenever I start to feel a bit overconfident, I start to relax and just enjoy myself, that's when I will just go flying off the back of it, much to the enjoyment of everyone else. I think I'm standing firm, and that is when I fall. In the same way, when we start feeling confident, we start trusting in ourselves instead of the Lord, that we carry people's burdens without actually bringing those burdens to God in prayer, that is when we ourselves are likely to fall. It is only when we know ourselves, that we know that we are sinners, that we know that we are weak, that we remember what Christ has done for us, that we remember he forgives our sin daily, and that but for his grace working in us, we would fall into far worse sin. It is only when we remember those things that we can gently and humbly help carry each other's burdens in the battle against sin, that we can help to restore one another. Practically, how might we do that? If someone comes to us and says, for example, they're really struggling with lust, how do we help them in that? Well, I think it's important we remember we need to have patience and don't expect that battles against sin are going to go away in a week or end quickly. And that's true for all types of burdens. We need to show that we are there with them. We're there for the long haul. We listen to where people are at, and we move towards them. If someone confesses sin to us or asks for help, don't just expect that they're going to keep coming back to you when they need help. Because we find that really hard to do, don't we? A podcast I've started listening to recently has a great little quote it plays at the start of every week. That says, essential to our caring for one another is we actually need to move towards one another rather than waiting for people to move towards us. If I've got a massive burden on my back, to have to take the extra couple of steps to move towards someone, that's already so hard. So we need to move towards people, take the initiative, send them a text, ask how they're doing, send them a verse to remind them of God's promises to them, pray for them. Patrick was encouraging us to pray for Luke. Pray for one another also. Lots of people even have accountability partners, people who will check in with one another maybe once a week to encourage one another along. We want to do that gently, not in a way that says, oh, you failed again, but in a way that says, I'm here with you. Let's pray. Let's keep asking God for help in this. We do that gently, we do it humbly, and most importantly, we are pointing people to Jesus, because it is Jesus who bears our burdens. We aren't anyone's savior. We cannot be anyone's Messiah. We cannot carry other people's burdens completely. But we can signpost them to the one who does. We can point them to the cross of Jesus Christ. At times, that may mean pointing them there and reminding them that is the price that is paid for sin. Do not keep going down this route. It does not end well. Other times, it may mean pointing them and saying, look, you are feeling weighed down with sin. People sometimes, they feel unworthy. They feel, how can God keep loving me? But he does. And so we may need to point them to that cross and say, look, this is what Jesus has done for you. His forgiveness never runs out. He carries our sin as far as the east is from the west. And so we can keep pointing people to Jesus. Carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That might look like carrying burdens of sin. Secondly, a bit shorter, don't worry. Might look like carrying one another's physical burdens. A couple of weeks ago, during lunch, it was really joyful just to watch two people having a conversation and one of them offering to come around and fix something with a screwdriver. I don't know what, but he was going to bring a screwdriver for someone who wasn't physically able to do that. And that is actually just a really wonderful Christ-like way of bearing one another's burden, simply giving of time or energy to do things for people that they aren't able to do for themselves. Verse 6 in Galatians 6 there, it gives the example of the person in the church who spends their time teaching God's word, caring for the church. We call that a pastor. Our pastor is Luke. It talks about bearing their burden, sharing all good things with them. But that's what we do with having Luke, our pastor. He was working here. He does not have time to have another job, so we pay him. That is bearing a burden. Likewise, back in the winter when we launched the Anyone in Need initiative for those struggling with the cost of living, that's a way of carrying one another's burdens. And we continue to do that today. That hasn't stopped, and that doesn't stop the need of people needing support financially. We can bear one another's burdens by offering to pick up the gas bill when things are tight. We can give globally to brothers and sisters around the world. When someone is sick, going and picking up their shopping, giving a hand, putting together some IKEA furniture. These are simple but wonderful ways of showing the love of Christ. We can't do everything. We don't offer to do every single thing for people, but we can help. From a place of love, love for God, love for our neighbor, we can carry one another's burdens. We can carry burdens in the fight against sin. We can help carry burdens physically and materially. Finally, we can help carry burdens of suffering. But before we do this, is anyone warm? Is it just me or is it quite warm in here? Can we open a few windows, whoever's near the sides? Get a bit of fresh air in. Thank you, everyone. We can carry each other's burdens in suffering. I don't have that one up. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Reading God's word, the Bible, it is filled with countless examples of people carrying burdens of suffering and pain. We've all heard the saying, a problem shared is a problem halved, haven't we? We've heard that. That is actually really true. Just having people beside us in times of suffering, simply knowing that they are there, is an encouragement to keep going. Being able to have people to talk to who will just listen, who will give us space, who are willing to just cry with us, that is an encouragement to keep going. God calls us to rejoice with those who rejoice. Praise God for that. He also calls us to weep with those who weep. That is carrying one another's burdens, taking on the emotional weight of what someone is going through. We read in the Bible, even in the book of Job. Job went through so much suffering. His three friends in the book, for the most part, were incredibly unhelpful. They blamed him for what had happened. They did not help. But even at the start of the story, they get one thing right. Job is sitting in the ashes of his house. His children are dead. His fields, all his possessions have been stolen or burned. He is sitting scratching himself, because he's covered in boils, he's sitting scratching himself with a broken piece of pottery. His friends come, they can see him afar off. They barely recognize him, and they begin to cry. They tear their clothes, and they simply come, and they sit with him in the ashes. And for 7 days and for 7 nights, they don't actually say anything. They just sit with him in his suffering. And that is something that we can all do. Those of you who were in small groups earlier this term, we saw a truly wonderful passage in Scripture. David is on the run. He is being hunted by Saul, who is trying to kill him. He's been out in the wilderness. He's been hiding in caves. He is getting low. He is struggling to keep going. His friend Jonathan comes. He finds him in his distress. And we read that Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him to find strength in God. He reminds him of the truth of God's promises. He reminds him that God is faithful, that he will not leave him. He encourages him in God. That is beautiful. And it is what we are called to do for one another. The people who are sitting beside you on your left, people sitting beside you on your right, the people in front of you, behind you, your church family, your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're called to do the same for one another, to help each other find strength in God. How do we do that? How do we help carry each other's burdens in times of real suffering? How do we carry someone's burden when they're struggling with just the weight of loneliness, or just finding that hard? How do we carry someone's burden who's been told at hospital that the treatment isn't working as the doctors hoped it would? We listen, we pray, we sit and we weep with them. We take our time doing all those things. We don't expect people to get better quickly or to suddenly find these things okay. But most of all, we help them find strength in God. We help remind them of what God has done for them. We help remind them of where we are going. We know that this world is full of pain, and it is hard, but it is not our home. Someday we will, if you're a Christian, if you have trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin, you will be taken home to be with him in glory. You will be healthy and joyful. You will never feel alone forever. We remind our suffering friends of these truths, that God has not abandoned them. We don't expect that they're always going to receive that joyfully. Sometimes those words, it feels like it just bounces off them. Sometimes the pain feels too great. But we keep pointing them to Jesus. We do it gently, we do it often, showing them that we are there with them along the way. That isn't easy, is it? A lot of the time it feels really, really tiring. It can feel exhausting. And it's easy to get discouraged. Look down at Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It's easy to become weary and wonder even what good that we are doing, if we're even making a difference in trying to help. We don't know what our actions are doing. It's wonderful that God is sovereign and that he knows. It's incredible to think how much work God can do through us in ways that we do not even know, and that we will not know about until the new creation. Earlier this week, a friend was telling me one of the people who works in the offices at college came up to them and told them, I've never been able to tell her, but it would have been, I guess, 30 years ago, your mum shared the gospel with me whenever I was at camp, and I became a Christian from that. Her mum had never known that. That was something God at work that they had no idea about. Whenever we are coming alongside people, carrying burdens, sending a text, encouraging them to keep going, we do not know what good it will do, and we may not know until the new creation. But let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we don't know when, it's in God's time, not ours. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That is a promise from God. So let us not give up, but let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, who has gone before us. Before we finish, it's important that we don't just leave feeling that we have got all of these things to do. We need to go out and carry each and every person's burdens. Because even though this is a place that we are really open and that we can share, if you don't know that, it is really okay for you to share your burdens here. It is okay for you to cry while you're at church. Please do know that. But in the midst of that, it's still easy to feel that we need to hide our burdens. It's easy to feel that other people have too much going on. We can't let them care for us. Or we even can feel that we need to be the ones caring for the people around us. But actually, we need our burdens carried. It can feel really honourable. It can feel even Christ-like, like sacrifice whenever we say, no, I'm not going to say what's going on in my life. I'm just going to listen to others. I'm going to carry their burdens. But actually, Jesus wasn't opposed to that. He wasn't opposed to that. He asked his disciples, please stay up and pray with me. When Jesus was going to the cross, the physical beating he had received, he was too weak. He could not carry the cross. Someone else had to come and carry it for him. When we don't want to let others carry our burdens, it's not Christ-like sacrifice, even if that's what it feels like. Actually, there is something of sinful pride in there, because we are not the Savior, and we all need our burdens carried, each and every one of us. Both we need to be cared for, we need help in the battle against sin, but most of all, each of us needs our burden of sin dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ. He and only He can make atonement for the wrong we have done. It is Jesus who has borne our griefs, and He has not only borne them, He has nailed them to the cross. And so it is Jesus who invites each and every one of us, each and every one of you, sinners who need to be forgiven. He says to you, oh, I didn't put that up. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We'll finish with this. It's a really wonderful image in a book called The Pilgrim's Progress. It's an allegory of what the Christian life is like. And it describes a man called Christian who has this great burden on his back. Nothing he can do can take it off. He cannot get rid of it himself. It weighs him down each and every day, each step that he takes. But he is finally told where to go that he might get rid of it. And so he begins the walk up a hill called Calvary. And it is when he gets to the top of that hill that he sees there a cross. And it is at that cross that his burden falls off. It rolls back down the hill, never to be seen again. He is free. Friends, Jesus invites each and every one of you, come to him. Have your burden taken away, for he gives rest to your souls. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there is not one person here who you do not invite to come to you. Thank you, Lord, that you bear our burdens, each and every one of them. You are there with us when we feel we are in valleys and in pits. You are there with us. You store up our tears as in a bottle. But Lord, you are also there. Lord Jesus, you have died for us. You have borne our burden of sin, and we do not need to bear it any longer. Father, may each person here, may we all come to you and know your forgiveness afresh. May we know the love of Christ, and may that love move us to come and to bear one another's burdens. May we care for one another, we pray, as you care for us. For it is in your name that we pray, knowing how much we need you, knowing we cannot do this ourselves. And so we ask for your strength, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.